Hello, this is Jerry Pippin, and welcome to our ghost show. We're in the car. We're headed into Jefferson, which is located in East Texas. Our headlights are reaching out and casting strange shadows in the brush and trees here in the rolling hills. Jefferson, Texas, the most haunted town in Texas. That's the way the billing goes. Wait a minute, I think I hear a train. I'm here in the middle of nowhere. Could this be the famous Texas ghost train? A train from another time, another era? We're close to Jefferson here in East Texas. I'm Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting in the car as we're headed for Jefferson. In a moment, we'll be, it'll be a few minutes, actually. In a few minutes, we'll be in Jefferson, and we'll go straight to the railroad depot, where we hope to get a glimpse of the real, legendary ghost train of the night. We're looking forward to hearing lots of true-life ghost stories. If you have one, give me a call at 918-682-2630 or email me at jerry@jerrypippin.com. We're still a few miles out of town, so I tell you what, let's do. Let's go ahead and take our first caller. We have an interesting show for you. We're going to be talking to a psychic, Dr. Rita Louise. Mark Allen Morris is producing a TV documentary about this town and a group of paranormal investigators from Dallas. All of that will be coming up here, but right now I think we're going to go to the phones, right? We do have a call already. And it's David, and I can't believe it, but he's calling from my hometown of Muskogee, Oklahoma. David, you say you have a haunted house. You lived in a haunted house. Where was that in Muskogee?
Across from our line is the street by it. It's across from where DHS is now. It used to be the old Walmart.
Yeah, on the west side of Muskogee, out by Highway 69. Now, David, when you moved in this haunted house, did you know it was haunted? Had anyone told you guys you were moving into a haunted house?
No, but, you know, we've only recently found out that there would have been, and I don't think I even knew, there had been a fire before we lived there, of a handicapped woman apparently lived there, and there was some sort of bizarre electrical fire, and but our neighbors next door to us said, you know, said it's weird, nobody stays there for very long. Maybe a couple of months at a time, and they all of a sudden they're gone.
David, you had talked to our producer earlier, and we said we'd call you and put you on the air if we had time before we got to Jefferson. And you told her that actually your wife saw the ghost, and it was in the afternoon, and she was in the house alone cleaning up after you were getting ready to move. Is that right? Can you pick up the story?
The house was empty. From some distance away, and again, it was that she could tell. It didn't seem to be coming from outside, but it was, that's all thing she could think of, a voice saying, "Ma'am." And apparently, I guess she just ignored it and just went on. And then it got closer again, said, "Ma'am." And then finally to where she knew it was right behind her and saying, "Ma'am." Felt that the hand just grip her shoulder. She demonstrated it to me. It was a good firm grip. But like I said, she knew that there was not a soul there, nobody there.
I mean, this must have scared the hell out of her, David. I mean, did she turn around?
Not at that point. She didn't. At that point, she just said, "You know, God, please help me. Please don't let it hurt me." And then it was at that point that she felt it.
And it let go just like that.
Yeah. Immediately, it was like it wasn't no grip at all, and it just, whatever it was, backed off. Yeah, then it's when she turned around and realized, as she said, it was the same thing she'd seen before. This
David, was it a transparent or a translucent type figure, or was it real? How did she describe it?
I just assumed from the way she kind of described it, she described it so well that it had to have been fairly. I mean, she described it as a ghost or a spirit, so I guess it was, I don't know, in between, I guess, if she could describe it that well, but in that there were certain colors.
Now, Now, David, you had seen this ghost before yourself,
yeah,
right?
I'd seen maybe something out of the corner of my eye. A dark thing in the corner or something kind of going through or walking. See, that's about it.
Wow. David, have you been back in the house? I mean, since this happened, have you gone back to the haunted house?
Yeah, I went back today. We went back afterwards. But she still had to finish, but she refused to go back over without me. And when we went back, it was just, I didn't really notice anything, but it was the same thing as, I described today. I said I didn't know whether it was psychological or not, but you just walked in the door, and it just, every hair of my body just went straight up.
David, in your pre-interview, before you came on the air, you told our producer you thought the ghost was polite. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of to tell her. I said, well, at least he said, ma'am, and it wasn't anybody's name or, hey, you or whatever. I don't know how many spirits like that are that polite.
Now, when you lived in the house for the couple of months you lived there, anything happen? Any ghostly experiences?
No, I don't really remember anything. I mean, there wasn't any really strange anything. I can't recall one single thing. But she said she often would see. She said when she saw the thing, she wasn't really surprised. But it had never, been so bold as to do something like that either. Well, and I said when I went over there today, I kind of carefully went through the rooms. I was looking anyway because we lost a little plug in there, and I was trying to find the thing. But I opened up what had been our bedroom. I closed the door before we left. As I walked into the house, I said, hello. If you're here, then, hey, I'm in the house. And I said, I don't know if it was my imagination or it was the door as I opened it, but it never squeaked. But I could have sworn I heard someone say hello as I opened the door.
Wow.
The bedroom door. And because I thought, did I hear that or did that door squeak? I thought, well, the door never has squeaked. I thought, well, whatever it is, it's not malevolent, it wouldn't seem.
Sounds to me like maybe the ghost didn't want you guys to move. That's the reason he touched her that day.
I don't know, and it's interesting because when we lived in an apartment in Oklahoma City, a 3 or 4 bedroom apartment, that we eventually just had to move from. Well, we wanted to move anyway, but it's something that we didn't really think about much till later. But the kids would just scream bloody murder in just the middle of the night for no conceivable reason.
What do you think was going on there, David? I mean, did they see something?
Well, they seemed to be, when I went in there, they seemed to be asleep. But Stephanie said she often saw something go down the hall and then go into, Alethea's room. She would have been, I guess, one at that time. It would go in there. But she could sit and watch whatever it was.
Okay, you're in the new house. Any ghosts there? Have you seen any ghosts since you've moved to this new house?
Well, I already can tell you something about here. I wasn't even going to say anything about it, because this is kind of a common occurrence with me now. The other night, we still, it's a disaster over there right now. And the front window that looks out to the carport, we don't even have curtains up there yet because nobody passes by there anyway. And as I always do before we move into a house, I'll say, say a blessing over the house and ask that angels watch over the house and whatever. And I guess this has been about before her little incident, so it was Friday or Saturday. I was going to the refrigerator to get some milk and happened to look outside, and just as plain as day, walking from my car, which is on the farthest side of the carport, and about to walk over to the other car, which would pretty much be the perimeter of the house, was the only way you could say it was an angel. It was not glowing, like a flashing white light or whatever you might hear, but it was incandescent. The way, like one of those, silly things that you break and they glow green. But it was, I mean, it wasn't glowing in a sense that, you know, like a bulb would glow, you know. But it was just that. It was just incandescent. He's tall, standing, I could see from the side. So you could see the wings coming out from behind it. You could definitely make that out as opposed to just, you know, somebody's back. And it's just making it, like I said, that's nothing new for us. I've certainly seen that a lot of times before in different places. And of course, the difference seems to be that if something like she saw, it startles you. It really hits you where you live, so to speak. It's unsettling. With these angels, there's nothing to it. Not unsettling whatsoever. It's just very, very nice feeling. Instead of, you know, you would think, you know, you see something unexpected standing outside, and there is that kind of initial startle, I guess, about it, that you're not expecting an incandescent person to be standing outside by your car.
Have you had this sort of thing happen, you know, in the past? I mean, the reason I ask, we have reports like this every once in a while, and they seem to follow fans.
Yeah, I know. Well, the angels, you know, yeah, absolutely. Now, as far as anything spooky, I guess, no, I've never had anything like that at all. And, well, then I guess the only alternative I would have would be with the UFOs I always saw, but I haven't seen those. I haven't seen one of those in years, probably about 4 or 5 years now, I guess. And I've seen those since I was little.
This connection with UFOs, that's interesting. Well, what do you think? Is there a connection between the ghosts?
I really,
and UFOs?
Yeah, I don't think so. And I don't know if she's had any.
You brought up the subject of UFOs. I have to ask you, any connection there? I mean, between, well, let me ask it this way. Have you ever had contact with ETs?
You know, the only thing that I can ever think of, if I think about something like that, it must have been when I was going to broadcasting school, I guess. That would have been the only reason for me to be out that late. And at that time, we lived between Warner and Weber's Falls. So I would go out by the airport and go take that direction, go through Warner and get there. And there's
you're talking just south of Muskoka.
And you get to a certain point, there's a little convenience store out in the middle of nowhere out there, Pebble, I think is what they call it. And there's a little house beside it. Now, as I got up, and, you know, this is like midnight or something, got up about to the house, which there's not a whole lot of anything around there. I happened to look, and there was, I don't know how big the thing was. Just one of your classic circular discs with a red, blue, green, and yellow lights on the bottom of it. Big, huge yellow lights. And all I can remember thinking is I thought, well, you know, it would seem like the people in that house would know something that big was, because it was maybe, I mean, it was still quite a ways up, but it wasn't so high. And after that, and it makes me kind of question the entire thing, and I don't know that's a common deal, that I don't remember anything after that. Now, I've had situations where down around that same area, I got chased by a fireball down the road, and all I remember is hitting the gas.
Yeah.
I was out there. I got out of the bed, but with that, I do not remember a single thing after seeing that, which I said led me to kind of go to question the entire thing to begin with. So I thought, well, I'm pretty sure I saw that, you know.
Yeah.
David, we're going to have to cut off the conversation. We're in Jefferson now. Thanks a lot for calling. Roberta Scott, our driver, I right down there, I think, is the railroad depot. See down there in the dark? This is an interesting town, isn't it? Yeah, I believe that's Dr. Rita in front, standing by the railroad depot. Who knows? Maybe the ghost train will show up here. Maybe we beat it. Hope it hadn't left the station. We'll be back, folks. We're going to go park and go inside and talk to somebody, or maybe a few people. We have an interesting show coming up for sure. We're broadcasting from Jefferson, Texas, the most haunted town in the state, they say. Don't go away. I'm Jerry Pippin.
Do you have a problem with mold or mildew in your home? Well, listen to this. We have found a product you will love. Moldzyme, an effective non-toxic mold and mildew cleaner. Moldzyme is the cleaner, greener way to remove mold and mildew stains. This is a line of completely non-hazardous, non-toxic, and environmentally safe products. It's rid of mold and mildew stains quickly, easily, and safely. Moldzyme contains no chlorine or ammonia, is non-hazardous and hypoallergenic, safe on wood, concrete, and brick, inside or outside your home. Moldzyme eliminates odors and is fragrance-free, an all-natural and environmentally safe way to remove mold and mildew stains that really work. See the complete line of products by clicking on one of the Moldzyme banners located throughout our website. You'll be glad you did.
Well, Mark, we're sitting in this railroad depot in Jefferson, Texas, and tell me a little bit about this. You just finished a ghost ride.
This is true. This is our second day out here in Jefferson, and we just finished taking the ghost train ride, and which was quite interesting, I must say. The investigators were in here earlier.
Yeah, I want to find out about the ghost ride here in just a second. I'm sorry I missed it. I wanted to get out here. Hey, it's pitch dark out there.
It is.
That's good for ghosts, I guess.
It is, actually, yes. It's prime time for ghosts. But like I say, we had the investigators in the depot earlier. They were checking out some of the stories that we've been told by the folks that work here. Apparently, several of the employees have had experiences here with the bells on the front door jangling when no one was there, the doors opening and closing of their own accord. Let's see, what else were they talking about? The sounds of toys, children's toys that they keep in the waiting area for the kids to play with. Cars rolling across the floor and such when no one was there to play with them. All the doors were locked. No one was here but the employee. They would hear the toys rolling across the floor and come in. Of course, no one was there.
When we opened up the show, we talked a little bit about Jefferson and the history, and we alluded to some of the things that happened in this town. Now, what happened particularly here? Why is this whole area haunted?
Jefferson does have the reputation of being the most haunted small town in Texas, and there are a couple of theories on that. One is the fact that it does have so much history, and so little has changed about the town in such a period of years. Also, the fact that it's surrounded by three bodies of water, and it's widely believed among paranormal investigators that water somehow or another attracts ghosts or spirits. So, in any place that has had a lot of action, a lot of emotion, and Jefferson being compared to New Orleans back in its heyday, where you've got gambling and you've got gunfights and all kinds of craziness going on, there was definitely a lot of drama and emotion going on. So that kind of the theory is that it has left a lot of residual energy.
In other words, on this ghost train and in this depot, there's not one specific ghost that comes and shows up?
I really don't think that's been determined yet, and that's one of the things that hopefully we're going to rule out after the investigators have had a chance to review their data. At this point, all we have are the incidents and occurrences that the employees have described to us, and we're going to take those and examine those, and we've taken audio inside here during the ghost train. Actually, the investigators left some equipment set up here, video cameras. They've taken many still photos inside and out, audio, So hopefully we'll have some EVPs, possibly some orbs, maybe even some video. So within the next few days, we will know if we've gotten anything or not.
Well, and as we say, when you get a little closer to actually putting all this together, we want to get back with you and follow this project all the way through. You know, you hear all kinds of interesting stories about orbs following people, and especially around the bodies of water, as you say. We've done lots of shows about things like that. Tell me, how did you come up with this concept? It seems like it's more or less a scientific investigation of paranormal activity.
It is mostly scientific. Actually, we're approaching it from two different angles. It's based in science with the investigations, but we're also we have Dr. Rita Louise along with us to kind of give us the spiritual angle with her abilities. And hopefully the two extremes will corroborate one another, and we'll have some pretty compelling evidence.
Now, when you talk about the other investigators, who are they?
The team is called Metroplex Paranormal Investigations. And
you're based there in the Dallas Metroplex?
Yes, sir, they are. And the reason I started this whole thing, a few years back, I wrote a book called The Ghost Next Door, which is basically a series of true stories from your average Joe, everyday people, talking about the paranormal experiences they've had. And that did very well. So I was just starting on a second book, and I started thinking, well, you know, why not go a little bit above and beyond a book and do a documentary? So that's how this thing started. And the only thing I didn't know at that point was location. Where was I going to do this? So my wife and I just happened to be in Jefferson last year, taking a little mini vacation. And we started hearing the stories, you need to go over here, look at the Grove, go here, go look at the Jefferson Hotel, you know, this place is haunted, that place is haunted, this is the most haunted small town in Texas. So obviously it quickly clicked in my mind that, and being only 3 hours from Dallas, that this was the perfect location.
It's ideal all the way around. You know, the thing that is amazing to me is when Dr. Louise mentioned that she was coming down here for this, it just went right over my head. So I started talking to people, and everybody I talked about knew about this place.
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's got quite a reputation, especially in recent years with the popularity of the paranormal and the ghosts kind of at a steady rise over the past 5 or 10 years.
What got you interested in this subject? Do you have an experience yourself or something?
Actually, no, believe it or not. I personally have never experienced anything paranormal. As for my interest, it's something that has always been there as far back as I can remember, and I don't know why, but it's there. It's a fascination that I've always had, and it's grown into a hobby as I've matured. So
now this train, it makes a trip, I think, every Thursday night.
I'm not sure if Thursday. I think they may have scheduled this trip especially for...
Oh, okay.
I believe they normally limit the trips to weekends.
Okay, now what does it do? It goes 4 or 5 miles down the road and comes back, or what?
I believe it is. It's 3 to 4 miles. It seems like it took a couple of loops around, and the young man that was doing the narration, he tells stories about things that have happened. He tells about EVP. It's actually very educational for those who don't know a lot about ghosts or the paranormal. He gives a lot of background on that. He plays some actual EVPs during the ride. He talks about some of the sort of amateur investigations that have actually taken place out there in the woods, which is pretty creepy and atmospheric.
I started to say, anything unfortunate happen out there?
Of course, Jefferson played a sizable part in the Civil War when all that was going on. Part of the tour with the train, actually, we go by an old Confederate battery, and there's a story that it had exploded at one point, like a munitions dump or something like that, obviously killing several people. So that led to some of the employees here going out in the middle of the night in the woods and setting off a tape recorder and listening, and what they got, according to Blake, was very dramatic. Several voices
Well, maybe we'll get a sample of that before you release the thing.
Well, unfortunately, he explained to us, and this really made my heart sink, but he explained to us that he no longer has the tapes.
Oh, man.
Yes, that's very disappointing. It would have been wonderful.
Well, who knows? Maybe tonight sometime, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, we'll find those voices. You never know. We'll be out searching all night.
That'd be great. Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Find out exactly what's happening. Now, what's your schedule as far as post-production and things? When do you think this will be released? Is it going to be a DVD, or are you going to go to a commercial with it, like commercial TV project, or what?
Yes, sir. We'll be pitching it, first of all, to the major networks, ABC, NBC, Fox. I have a producer that I've been working with out in Los Angeles, and he's excited about the project. He wants me to get him a rough cut as soon as possible, and he's going to start pitching it around. So it may, ideally, will wind up on one of the major networks. If not, then Travel Channel, Learning Channel.
Yeah, there's a lot of places to go with this product at this time.
Yes, sir.
When you were on the train, you didn't notice anything particular yourself as far as being spooky or haunting?
It was quite spooky, say that, but okay. Myself, personally, I'm paranormally challenged. I don't pick up on these things. There can be someone sitting right next to me saying, "Wow, can you feel that?" And I'll, nothing. But but that's just me, and it seems to be a male-female thing from my experience.
Well, it probably is, and I've been doing UFO shows for 40 years. I'm an old guy, and basically I saw my first UFO in Phoenix, Arizona last November, first time ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, did you get some photos?
Oh, sure, we got lots of photos, lots of things, and we got a three-hour special about the Phoenix lights coming up very soon, involving a lot of strange things that are still happening out there. But let's get back to Jefferson here, and you're getting the most out of the people.
We are. We've just prior to your getting here, we, like I said, we investigated the depot here at the Ghost Train. And as we speak, the investigators are out in the woods, a couple of hundred yards away, investigating what is said to be a haunted coach car. Part of the train that, and the reason it's not attached to the train is because none of the passengers seem to want to sit in it.
And the, do they see things, or is just they feel things, or?
Well, the story that was just told to me by one of the employees here was that he was out renovating this thing. They had just acquired it, and he was renovating the car, and he was out there by himself when the car began to shake. Slightly at first and then violently. The way he described it, it was as if 20 to 30 people were standing outside and shaking the car back and forth. And of course, he got out and looked around. Nobody was around. After the renovations were complete, they attached the car to the train, didn't say a word to anyone about what had happened, and found that during each of the rides, for one reason or another, none of the passengers wanted to sit in the car. It was air conditioned, it was heated. And people would go in, but they would eventually wander out and opt for one of the open air cars. So,
do you have any idea? Well, I tell you what, they'll be back here in a little bit. We'll ask them.
Okay.
Maybe they picked up something.
They may have. Chances are they did out there. We felt pretty good about it earlier when we went out there, but we probably won't have any results until tomorrow afternoon. It's going to be a while before they can thoroughly analyze their data.
Okay, we'll be walking around watching you do these things and talking to some of the other investigators, and our program of Dr. Louise, we'll talk to her here in a minute too. I think she's already picked up some pretty interesting vibes. I don't know if that's the right term or not.
Vibes is a good way to put it. She has. Rita, last night especially at the Grove, she was, as one of the investigators put it, she was batting 1,000. One of the former owners of the Grove was leading her around last night, around the property, asking her, okay, put your hands on this wall. What do you see? What do you feel? And Rita would explain to him what she was getting, and he'd say, yep, that's pretty accurate. And he did that repeatedly. And I think on every occasion but one, she nailed it. So... and Rita basically told us this morning it was a hotbed of paranormal activity.
Well, we'll talk to her about that in a moment. This is Jerry Pippin. We're broadcasting from the most haunted town in Texas, Jefferson. Stay tuned. We'll be talking to one of the top psychics in the country about the vibes from the other side. Plus, we'll be talking to people at the old, ancient, remodeled Jefferson Hotel. It's really nice in there, and evidently, some ghosts think it's okay to live there as well. More coming up. Don't go away. Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Every month in Fate Magazine. Fate Magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest-running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate Magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate Magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment. Fate. Tales of the Strange and the Unknown.